from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
It was just yesterday that here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, we were talking about a couple of recruits that Georgia did get over the weekend. Xavier Truss, a gigantic offensive lineman that around here we really like. Jeff Sintel has obviously sort of filled our minds with potential ways in which this big tackle from Rhode Island may fit into the scheme here for Sam Pittman. That's obviously good news. John Reese Plumlee, the athlete slash quarterback for 2019, admittedly I don't know quite as much about, but there's certainly a lot to like about him too. We'll find out more about him when Jeff Sintel joins us here in a bit. But in the fast-moving world of SEC football recruiting, the news cycles can sort of spin here pretty quickly, and you go from one day of good news to another day of all of a sudden, it doesn't seem quite as much of good news anymore, and fans can get from time to time a bit restless. We did this a lot last spring and summer. We're doing this already this summer, at least a little bit, admittedly probably less so than a year ago. Let me tell you why some Georgia fans are, I'm going to use the word concern, not worried, not panic, not anything like that, but just concern. And really, the word that I used a moment ago is probably the best word of all to use, restless. There's just this excitement comes from good recruiting news, and when you wait a while to get some, what you think of as a real grand slam home run anyway, yeah, you can kind of get a little bit curious about when the next big shoe is going to drop is going to be, especially when you hear other good news for other programs or other news about some of your commits that maybe not saying exactly what you wish they would say. More on that in a moment. Let me start, though, with C.J. Clark. The big four-star defensive tackle from North Carolina chooses NC State yesterday. Now, the backdrop here is, as Jeff Sintel has said to us many times when he joined us on Dog Nation Daily, it is not abundantly clear how much of a priority C.J. Clark really was for UGA. Certainly a recruiting target, but is this one of those guys that Georgia was going to the mattresses on? I honestly don't know. NC State's obviously had great success with its defensive line as of late. I'm sure that factored into the decision here. But, you know, there is some thought here that Georgia may have other defensive linemen prioritized more so than C.J. Clark. There are certainly things to like about Clark. He may go on to an outstanding career at NC State. But there are some questions that bubble up from time to time about, you know, did this really fit into the sort of elite list of priorities that Georgia has for that position? I completely acknowledge what some UGA fans have said, though, about, you know, Trey Scott, the defensive line coach for Georgia, kind of being a bit more on the spotlight, a bit more center stage here of this 2019 recruiting cycle. Georgia needs elite defensive linemen. The number one target there would seem to obviously be Trayvon Walker, the in-state product here from Georgia for the class of 2019. There are other elite names in there, too, and I think some Georgia fans are going to ask Trey Scott to bring those in. I think they want to see the defensive line recruiting be right there alongside offensive line recruiting and linebacker recruiting. And when you think about 2019 wide receiver recruiting, I think there are a lot of people who want to see Scott have the same level of success as the other position groups. And I guess it remains to be seen if missing out on C.J. Clark, and I use missing out in air quotes, I guess it remains to be seen if this is an example of Trey Scott not living up to the reputation that Georgia assistants are supposed to have, or if this is an example of Georgia just having other priorities. Another player that sort of fits into that how much of a priority was he really type conversation, and I'm going to butcher this last name, I apologize, it's sort of a tradition for me to absolutely murder recruits' names, and the latest on that is the four-star defensive end, Justin Igboigi. Even saying that out loud, I know I don't have it right, but he's the four-star defensive end from Forest Park who commits to Alabama yesterday. And once again, this is one of those deals where, you know, you can go back and look through the annals of Dog Nation, look at the things that Jeff Sintel has written here, and how much time has Igboigi's name even come up here at a DogNation.com in terms of someone that Georgia was prioritizing as a recruit. Doesn't seem like that Georgia and Justin were all that connected with each other. It's another example, almost a bit like Rashad Chaney, of Alabama and Georgia, even though these two staffs are somewhat mirrors of each other, Alabama and Georgia just having a bit different evaluation scale when it comes to some of these in-state defensive line products. It was true for Rashad Chaney. It's true from the product from Forest Park here, who chose Alabama as of late. But that's probably not at least based on what I'm seeing on message boards, including our own forum at forum.dognation.com, it's not these guys choosing other schools that has fans the most restless here on this Tuesday. It's actually some stuff from Jaden Hazelwood. And I believe the origin of this comes from an article quoting Hazelwood from 247sports.com. Those guys do great jobs. I haven't actually read this particular piece, but I've certainly seen the reaction to it, as I said, on our forum at forum.dognation.com and other forums where there just seems to be a bit of nervousness, restlessness, concern about the fact that Jaden Hazelwood seems to be saying that his recruitment is still open, that he's still open. Obviously, he's taking visits. He's taking a handful of official visits here, and he seems to be, I guess, based on the quotes that are coming out of this this article, seems to be suggesting that his mind is open to being swayed here. Now, ultimately, as a fan, and y'all know that's the perspective with which I do this show from every day, ultimately, as a fan, I'm not that worried about anything that Jaden Hazelwood says right now, because ultimately, Jaden Hazelwood has been very consistent on this issue the entire time. He's saying this now, it's getting attention from the 24/7 Sports article, but if you want to go back in time a few months ago, Jaden Hazelwood, the nation's top wide receiver for 2019, a rock-solid five-star UGA commit, or at least let me say a five-star UGA commit, was with us at Marlow's Tavern. And the subject came up then about the notion of taking visits, about going other places. This is before the spring. He's looking ahead to the April visit to Oklahoma and some other places. But he made it clear at that time that the process of taking visits, enjoying the nature of being a highly sought-after recruit, was something that he was going to do. This is what Jaden Hazelwood told us about all of this a couple of months ago.
I'm in the process of scheduling my officials right now, like, I'm taking my first one in April to Oklahoma, of course. I mean, but that doesn't change my opinion on Georgia. Like, I see fans commenting, like, someone told me respect the fans and we'll respect you or something like that. And I just looked at it and was like, man, y'all don't understand. You only can do it one time.
And when you're a guy like Jaden Hazelwood and you're getting justifiably as much attention as he's getting from all these schools, the Auburns, the Oklahomans, kind of everybody in between, it's sort of a hard thing to say no to, not in terms of accepting their offer to come be a commit at their program, but accepting their offer to come take a visit, that is, I would imagine, sort of a hard thing for someone to say no to. And for Jaden Hazelwood, you heard him back there at Marlow's Tavern say, I'm not going to say no to this. I am going to enjoy this process a bit. And obviously, if you're taking visits, you're at least open to the pitch they're giving you. Ultimately, do I think that Georgia fans have a reason to be worried? I guess I don't. I'm going to lean heavily on Jeff Sintel on this, who's been pretty consistent throughout this entire process. And as I've kind of said before, and this is a point that I feel like I need to make emphatically over and over again, as a fan, if you want to see your team swim in the deepest recruiting waters possible, this is kind of what goes along with that. You know, it's the Nolan Smiths who has also taken some visits. It's the Jaden Hazelwoods who also have taken some visits. If you want to seek out the most sought-after recruits, you're not going to be the only one doing the seeking there, and you see another example of that with Jaden Hazelwood. However, it is worth pointing out here that while Hazelwood taking visits may be an acceptable scenario, I think Kirby Smart, if he was sitting right here and being as candid as he could possibly would be, would say while it's acceptable, it is not ideal. Going back to 2017 here for a moment, when Georgia signed the nation's number three class, a lot of those guys were the Jake Fromms, the Richard LeCounts, rock-solid recruits who really took no visits other places. You even got a sense that a lot of those recruits from the class of 2017 were leaning on their would-be teammates, soon-to-be teammates, to also not take visits. Shut it down. Be rock-solid to Georgia. And Kirby Smart explained on National Signing Day 2 years ago that when you've got that level of commitment, it does make the job of recruiting a little easier. Here's Kirby Smart.
It helped a lot because we knew and we trusted that the relationship we had developed allowed us to go other places and go see other guys. And I think that's always the key to getting a good class is how fast can you get started on the next class. So meanwhile, while you're recruiting this class, we were able to get ahead and go see some 2018 and 2019 guys out there.
So listen, I completely agree with Kirby Smart. I think most Georgia fans too. It would be ideal if Jaden Hazelwood would be so committed to Georgia he's not taking other visits. That's what you want him to say. That's not what he's saying. However, any level of commitment from Jaden Hazelwood to Georgia is better than the alternative of him not being committed at all here. And ultimately, no matter what, I'm just not worried about this situation because I think that Kirby Smart at Georgia has built the kind of program that sells itself. It sells itself when Hazelwood's on other campuses. it has sold itself when other recruits are on other campuses, including non-committed players who are heavily considering Georgia. We'll talk more about that when Jeff Sintel joins us as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Tell All here in just a moment. And I guess to sort of wrap up this entire conversation, I can't help but to go back to about this time a year ago when Jeff Sintel was on our program. And at the time, the Georgia recruiting scenario was far worse, at least on paper, seemingly, than it is right now. We spent a lot of this time a year ago looking at Georgia ranked like 60-something, 70-something in the nation recruiting, however dire it seemed to have gotten. But while me and some of y'all were thinking, what's wrong with UGA recruiting? Apparently, according to Jeff Sintel, who spoke these words almost exactly a year ago, the Georgia coaches never felt that way. In fact, they found it all to be pretty funny. Here's Jeff Sintel.
I talk to a lot of recruits, and a lot of recruits kind of tell me that the Georgia coaches kind of laugh at all the headlines about, woe is Georgia, they can't put together back-to-back strong classes, yada, yada, yada. Those coaches, according to the recruits I talk to, feel very bullish about what they're going to build in 2018. But all those gifts haven't been unwrapped under the tree yet. So that's something for the fan base to pay close attention to over the next 4 or 5 months.
I think that's important words of reminder there from Jeff Sintel that these things have a way of working themselves out, which is not to say that restlessness can be avoided. It is a bit of an uncontrollable emotion from time to time when you're waiting on more good news. There's a tendency to get a little impatient here. But ultimately, when all this is said and done for the class of 2019, I think it's probably going to look very similar to 2018, one that ranks very near the top of the country in terms of the best classes anyone's able to produce for this recruiting cycle. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Marco's Pizza, and I'm so glad you're here, no matter how you get to us today. Whether it be on video, the Dog Nation Facebook page, Dog Nation YouTube page, or the Dog Nation Twitter feed, we are live every single day there at 10 a.m. We're available to you on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form, wherever podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Android devices, the worldfamousdognation.com. We're just really, really glad you're here, and very thankful to Marco's Pizza, who makes all of this possible. Y'all know I like Marco's Pizza because it's authentic Italian-quality pizza where you get a great low price every single day. How about two medium, two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 each? It's every day the Italian way at Marco's Pizza. And when they say the Italian way, what they mean is that authentic Italian Giammarco family recipe sauce. Those three melted cheeses blended on top of the delicious crust. And I love the price when you got a family of four to feed like I do. You can't get enough of that. And two medium, two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. That really speaks to you. I love it. You can say hello, primo, at Marco's. Go to marcos.com to find out more on that. It is also coming up, Jeff Sintel here, as he joins us every Tuesday here on Dog Nation Daily for our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. We'll do a lot of the stuff with Jeff that I just addressed there, including the Jaden Hazelwood rumors, the guys that said no to UGA. We'll kind of deal with all that with Jeff Sintel in just a moment. Before we do that, though, let me go back in time just briefly for a moment. One of the things we've talked about a lot here on the program is the sort of national consensus that Georgia plays an easy schedule in 2018, especially when you factor the non-conference. Georgia seemingly doesn't rank very high on anybody's rank of toughest non-conference opponents here for 2018. But in a conversation with Chip Towers yesterday, the subject came up of the Georgia secondary and trying to plug some holes in that secondary, including filling out some of the depth there with the guys who will be backing up what is thought to be a pretty solid group of starters. And Chip Towers said something in the midst of that discussion about the Georgia schedule for 2018 that I thought was kind of interesting. He said when you factor in some of the quarterbacks that Georgia plays, Jake Bentley and Drew Locke included, all of a sudden maybe a Georgia schedule that some would say is easy, maybe it's not quite so easy at second blush. Here's Chip Towers.
You know, everybody talks about Georgia's schedule and how favorable it is. The one thing that really concerns me in that regard is those two quarterbacks that Georgia's going to face in the first month and the two Columbias. I can promise you, they're not going to be throwing it DeAndre Baker. They're going to be throwing the other way. This is what they do. This is what every offense does. This is what they do every week. It's a preparing for teams and all offseason, quite frankly, is game plan for a team, and they're looking around. And they're saying, all right, where are the weak links? That's what we're going to attack, and that's what they're thinking.
I think that's a really interesting point from Chip Towers. Now, overall, I don't think it changes the nature of how I view the Georgia schedule. I do think, compared to some schedules in some years, Georgia's 2018 schedule is pretty favorable. But in terms of a challenge that Georgia has to face, tough quarterbacks is an example of that. Chip mentions Drew Locke and Jake Bentley. I think you could also add to that Joe Burrow, the transfer from Ohio State, who could be starting for LSU, and Jared Stidham in Auburn, which sort of brings to mind of what's important for the Georgia defense this season. I thought CFB Film Room, who's a pretty good Twitter account to follow, had an interesting stat they put out here today in terms of the top SEC returning quarterback pressure groups here for 2018, and Georgia's on that list with a combined total of 46 from the duo of Jonathan Ledbetter and Tyler Clark from a year ago, behind a tandem from Vanderbilt, Anthony Jennings and Isaiah Bugs from Alabama, and the very good defensive line duo from Mississippi State of Montez Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons. So when you think about what Georgia does have to face this season, getting more pressure from the likes of Ledbetter and Tyler Clark and others is going to be important, as well as finding a way to finish off this Georgia secondary. You like DeAndre Baker. You think he's a top-flight cornerback. J.R. Reed, certainly a great safety, but you got to finish off that group with another strong tandem of well as another safety and another cornerback and a nickelback. It's going to be an interesting scenario that Georgia faces here in 2018. Pretty good quarterbacks in a league, the SEC, where the quarterback position seems to be really growing here, and we'll see how the Georgia defense responds to that. It's good to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We get a lot more fun coming, including our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all with Jeff Sindel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Let me say hello to Jeff Sindel here as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. By the way, I think that I'm very excited. I understand on Friday I'm going to get a chance to go hang out and have some lunch with our friends over at Marlowe's Tavern. They've got a great summer menu they're debuting right now, and it is a good chance to sample some of that and say hello to our friends there. We always love doing that. Looking forward to doing that again on Friday. By the way, if you want to find out everything going on at the Marlowe's Tavern closest to you, become a Marlowe's Insider by texting the word Marlowe's. That's M-A-R-L-O-W-S to 24242. You can do that. You can find out about special offers, exciting events going on, including a really cool brand new bunch of featured menu items here for the summer. With that said, Jeff Sindel, good morning to you. Thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily today. How you doing?
Brandon, how are you, man? Hey, when we hit up that sample platter on Friday, is that a Hawaiian shirt, Dave, Brandon? I need to make sure, man.
You know what?
It's time to go out in public.
I feel somewhat vindicated by the Hawaiian shirt thing because after getting a little criticism for initially showing up on social media wearing that thing on Saturday, I got a lot of people in response yesterday saying, you know what, Hawaiian shirts are a very valid style choice here this summer. These things, if you go to the department stores, they're all over the place. I think Hawaiian shirts are back in a big way, and I think maybe I'm helping to bring them back, maybe. What do you think about that?
I would say two things. Number one, have you ever met a grumpy curmudgeon at all in a Hawaiian shirt?
Thank you.
That's like something like Kryptonite and Superman, but a positive effect. When you wear the Hawaiian shirt, you cannot be anything but a happy dude, even while you're at work.
That is exactly right. And I don't know if they make Hawaiian shirts big enough to fit C.J. Clark, the four-star defensive tackle who chose NC State over Georgia yesterday, but maybe that's one of the things he'll wear in celebration of his choice of the Wolfpack there. We have talked about C.J. Clark a lot. We spent a good bit of time on him on Friday. He doesn't choose Georgia. Difficult to tell what all this means. I mean, ultimately, how big of a loss is this for Georgia in your mind?
I think it's kind of like defensive tackle depth, and I think the way that Georgia recruits right now, I don't think this is worth, DEFCON 1 or whatever. Maybe we need to establish some sort of currency within the show, Brandon, or your program, to talk about what's one of them to really hit the panic button. What's one of those really to fire up that what's wrong with UGA recruiting forum thread on DogNation.com that I think must have 57,000 views by now,
yeah,
or something like that. C.J. Clark is a guy not anywhere in the realm of, what's going on, what happened. Everybody likes to point things to C.J. Clark, and it's everywhere. It's on our message boards. I get this from fans and emails a lot. Everybody wants to make that some sort of indictment of the defensive tackle recruiting and what's going on there. It's a very popular question, and I just think when it comes to Trey Scott, he is a genuine guy. He is not one of those sassy, professional, polished,
toothpaste commercial type salesman. He's going to keep it real. He's going to be very genuine. And I think there are some recruits that will work very well with, especially those that have down-home roots that are looking for a father figure type in the recruiting relationship. But it won't work for all recruits. And I think that's something that Georgia and its defensive tackle recruiting, I mean, listen, C.J. Clark is rated as a top 20 defensive tackle in the country because he shows great athleticism. He led his high school team in kickoff coverage tackles as a sophomore. He's athletic enough to even be out there on the kickoff coverage team in some pooch kick situations when they go 7-on-7 at North Stanley High. He's athletic enough, even though he's a three technique tackle, to play outside and cover some guys because he moves so well. But in my opinion, I think he was a redshirt candidate. I think this is a guy that will eventually be very good, but I don't know if this is a guy that everybody should, you know, really hit panic buttons about. And it's funny, Brett, in the world of recruiting theater as it is, probably seemed about, I don't know, 8 to 10 days ago that the tea leaves started changing there with C.J. Clark, and then it was a whole lot of time for folks to get worked up about a prospect not choosing the University of Georgia.
How much was Georgia recruiting, and I'm going to just butcher this name. I think I do it every time I try to bring him up. Justin Egbuigbe, the Forest Park defensive end that chose Alabama yesterday. Was this a guy that Georgia was trying to get heavily in on? What was the relationship between this prospect, this four-star guy, and a UGA?
Well, first of all, he's from a high school, Forest Park in Metro Atlanta, who hadn't produced a legit D1 prospect since Hines Ward. And Georgia did want him. Georgia was recruiting him. He's an Under Armour All-American. Very young prospect. He's not a very developed prospect as well. You're talking about a guy there who will, even though he's picked up the Under Armour All-American status, you're talking about a guy there that hadn't played a lot of football. I remember seeing him at the Rising Seniors game last December. Flashed a lot of athletic ability, but still lacked a lot of polish. He was a guy that hadn't really gotten coached up well, hadn't got really high-level instruction. He was just coming off a thought where he was wondering in his freshman and sophomore years if he was a basketball player. Great athlete, another guy that Alabama has came into the Metro Atlanta area and snatched. So they've got two guys from Metro Atlanta now on their board. That's Rashad Chaney and Mr. Egbuigbe from Forest Park High School. So defensive line recruiting, everybody knows the names. I think they should maybe spam the panic buttons when guys like – if things happen where guys like Trevon Walker and Derek Rambo Hunter, guys like that, start maybe leaning or start pointing towards another program. I will say that Georgia, another name to think about there is Quashawn Fuller. He's a guy that continues to say very nice things about Georgia. He took two recent visits to Georgia. He told me recently that although he is committed to committed to Florida State, he still has Georgia among his top five schools, and all five schools there are basically neck and neck right now when it comes to his recruitment.
So let's talk about some of the guys that Georgia has gotten as of late. One, another guy that I know you like here, we've mentioned him many times, part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all, is Xavier Trust, the four-star massive offensive tackle from Rhode Island, 6'7", 350 pounds. And, you know, as we've said before, this is that priority that Pittman and Kirby Smart want to put on, you know, big, massive offensive linemen. But when it comes to Xavier Trust, it is about more than just his size, correct?
Yeah, he's, it's funny, in the state of Rhode Island, Brandon, they only have like 40 or so high schools that actually play football. Xavier Trust comes from a program that didn't win the state title last year in Rhode Island, but is used to stringing together state titles. I think they won 6 or 7, Bishop Hendricken, in the years leading up to the 2017 season. And it's another weird thing is they don't play their freshmen on the freshman team in the state of Rhode Island. They have a freshman squad that's different from their JV squad and their varsity squad. Give me a five-second timeout to just imagine Xavier Truss on the freshman team.
No doubt.
I think he was about 6'4" and about 280 pounds at that time. And, wow, pity those poor souls that got in his way on a stretch play or anything else regarding the offensive line. Now, he also was a two-way player for the Hawks. He plays some defensive tackle as well. Has great feet. Really about 6'7" and a half, Brandon, and about 340 or so, some odd pounds. Very interesting player here, and you got to think about this for a second. I'm in the midst of compiling the research, and it's going to be a good stat, but think about players from Rhode Island. He has offers from everybody in the country except for maybe Notre Dame and Stanford and Texas, and rated number 102 overall in the nation for 2019. And that amounts to perhaps the most heavily recruited player ever in the state of Rhode Island. And for those of you guys that are really smart today and on their caffeine, the Ocean State's best player perhaps ever is on his way to play for the University of Georgia.
How about that? It's our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all here every Tuesday on Dog Nation Daily. If you want to find out more about the Marlowe's Tavern nearest you, become a Marlowe's Insider. Text the word Marlowe's, M-A-R-L-O-W-S, to 24242. You can find out about all the fun things going on at Marlowe's, including that great new summer menu that Jeff and I are both really excited about. Jeff, John Reese Plumlee is the, I guess, 2019 quarterback now for Georgia. You know, as you've written about, he's officially designated as an athlete. Is this one of those deals where a guy that's, you know, not really a full-time quarterback necessarily, is this an insurance policy that maybe one day he plays a different position at UGA? Is this quarterback or bust for Reese Plumlee here at UGA? What is the status here of this 2019 edition in John Reese Plumlee?
Well, I'm going to call upon a favorite Western of mine, Brandon, to kind of describe JR in maybe the most quick, succinct way I can. Here's the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good for John Reese Plumlee is I think he's a perfect match for the University of Georgia. He's got great speed. He plays center fielder. He will be a baseball player play baseball for the Diamond Dogs as well. 6'1", about 185. And he's a guy that I think is a perfect match for Georgia because they weren't going to get a guy coming in hoping to play 2018, obviously not 2018, but 2019, 2020, 2021, especially with those guys with the initials JF on the depth chart at the University of Georgia. But this is a guy that's coming in that's not going to play right away, not expecting to play right away, and he's expecting to develop right away. So he's a guy that's also maybe a taller version of Stetson Bennett in terms of the mobility, the escapability. It remains to be seen whether he'll have the accurate arm or the field acumen that Stetson Bennett had running that scout team, but that will be another arm for Georgia and a scholarship arm for Georgia at that. Now, the stuff that concerns me about Plumlee is, one, you look at his high school stats, he only played 9 games last year, and he threw for 14 touchdowns, but an alarming 9 interceptions as a high school junior for a program in Mississippi that, you know, not a really, you know, it's a big program out in Hattiesburg, but it's a school that also went 6-5 last year as well. Another nice little detail about Plumlee is he's a guy that can put up some monster stuff on the ground game. He had a 95-yard touchdown run as a high school quarterback for his high school team. And then you also look at he had a game last year where he threw for 270-something yards and ran for another approximate 180. To have that sort of stat line in a high school quarterback shows you've got an athlete there and you've got some potential there. But as I stated before, I think that's the perfect match of a skilled guy who's rated as a 4-star athlete in some circles, a 3-star quarterback in other circles, but he's a guy that's coming in expecting he has a lot to learn as he tries to get some time a long way down the horizon in terms of first-team reps for UGA.
There was a lot of chatter on the Dog Nation forum about Jaden Hazelwood, the 5-star wide receiver UGA commit lately. We talked about this for a bit before he joined us here today. I think a lot of this stems from a recent 24/7 Sports article with Hazelwood where he gave some quotes here, and they're similar to the things that he's told you in the past. I played some audio of what he told us when he was with us at Marlowe's Tavern, and your line on this has been there's no reason for UGA fans to be worried on about Jaden Hazelwood. He's been consistent throughout the entire process. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's essentially what you've said there. So I guess by way of a question here, what would be a clue that that's changing? What would be a clue for you to fans that the scenario with Jaden Hazelwood is now evolving into something where maybe UGA fans should be a little concerned about the level of commitment.
I think it'll just come in a conversation I have with him and maybe what he says to me and how, the way he says it. It's no secret, you know, and I even put this on the forum, Brandon. I said, Jaden is doing exactly what he said he was going to do, what he told me in February, March of 2017, and then after, while we were shooting his commitment video, and then after his commitment video, he's going to take his visits. He's felt he's earned the right. He's going to give other schools a chance to recruit him. But then when you see him at Georgia, sometimes I catch pictures of him which convey it as well as any words I could muster up could. There's just a look on his face which feels like, I don't know, Brandon in a Hawaiian shirt, eating some Marlowe's Tavern on a Friday night with Eddie the trusted blind squirrel by his side, and he sees that the Gator Hater countdown is continuing to stack up legions of victory against that team from Gainesville. To me, it's really simple. I know a lot of reporters or see the nation's number one wide receiver at an event. They're like, I got to get an update because I know folks will read it, and they want to ask him questions about how solid it is and everything else like that. He's going to take his visits, and that's going to be interpreted different ways as other schools have a chance. To put it very succinctly, Brandon, I think Georgia fans should start worrying. If there's ever a need for Georgia to start worrying, it would be when the Bulldogs don't have a lot of success on the field. They don't throw the ball well this fall. They rely on the ground game. Justin Fields is not in the game or not performing well for the Bulldogs. I think it's going to take a lot to move Jaden Hazelwood away from Georgia. Simply, there's a lot of reasons why, but you also have to remember these other schools he's looking at. I think Oklahoma fashions together a pretty good all-around squad, but Jaden Hazelwood knows the Georgia class and the team pretty intimately. He knows what Georgia has at receiver. He knows what they have at quarterback, and he knows what they have on the offensive line. He knows the running backs that are in that stable as well. He knows he will have a great chance to get single coverage in a lot of times in the SEC, and he knows what he can do with single coverage.
I don't want to put you on the witness stand here. I don't want you to make you feel like you're being interrogated, but I couldn't help but notice you mentioned Justin Fields there. Fields has talked before about his relationship with Jaden Hazelwood. Hazelwood has talked about Fields being instrumental in his decision to come to Georgia. Is it fair to say that if Fields is not playing, Hazelwood will view – I mean, not playing at all – that Hazelwood will view that as a negative?
Oh, I mean, I think it's kind of a given that Fields will play, especially with the new redshirt rules. So that's like saying, I wonder if they will have Coca-Cola for sale at Sanford Stadium this fall or something like that. I think with Jaden and I think with Justin, he knows what Justin can do. And that's one thing, again, that no other school can really have in Oklahoma and Auburn. I mean, Bo Nix does play for his 7-on-7 team, and they've established some great chemistry together playing for the Cam Newton 7-on-7 squad. That's the Auburn commit, Bo Nix, for 2019.
Sure.
But there's something different about Justin Fields, and we don't need to go into that with our audience about that. So, I mean, it could just be a measure. I don't know, something tangible. Georgia throws the ball. Maybe the run-pass ratio is a little bit more balanced. Maybe Georgia throws the ball 30 times a game this fall, and you see big numbers flashing from Terry Godwin and Mecole Hardman, and then a young freshman receiver like a Matt Landers or even a Tommy Bush. I think big explosive plays in the passing game, another strong season for Georgia, and Justin Fields simply getting into the mix and doing Justin Fields things for Georgia, especially in a lot of games where maybe he has a chance, where maybe gets a series here, a series there. I just think all those things will already strengthen the ties there between Jaden and Georgia. Now, I'm not going to just preach Georgia all the time here because anything can happen. Anything can happen in these hearts and minds of these 17 and 18-year-old boys. He will look at other schools. He's been looking at other schools. His family has been taking trips to other schools. But I just realize the way Jaden has always felt about the University of Georgia, and I still think there is a mighty good fit there.
Let me do a couple quick things before we get ready to say goodbye to you here as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago when you got quotes from N'Kobe Dean, the five-star linebacker's mother, Niketa Dean, about how much they enjoyed a visit to UGA and how impressed she was with the presentation made by Georgia there. I believe it was the scavenger hunt that that N'Kobe and his family were a part of there that she really liked. Of course, N'Kobe Dean takes the official visit to Alabama. I was reading some of our SEC country colleague Chris Kirshner's quotes from N'Kobe Dean coming off that official visit. And if you factor, Jeff, the exchange rate of the typical visit high, I came away reading those quotes from N'Kobe Dean on the heels of the Alabama official visit thinking that Georgia is still in a really good spot for Dean, even in the immediate aftermath of a pretty impressive Alabama official visit. Do you think I'm reading too much into that situation there? Because I mean, it sounds like Georgia's still in a pretty good spot there with N'Kobe Dean. I felt like his praise of Alabama on the heels of the official visit was maybe somewhat, I don't want to say muted, but certainly not as full-throated as some of the things that I've heard the Dean family say about Georgia visits.
Well, I think, Brandon, the timing is really instrumental here with looking at things. Alabama had a great official visit with a prospect. They paired him up with a guy that was highly rated but wasn't playing right away to show him how a prospect that's waiting his turn in Tuscaloosa still will say wonderful things about the program and will say that they value the time that they are spending there, rising up the depth chart. I think the fact that he visited Georgia for a real workout, a great workout, a chance to bond with Glenn Schumann, I think that was very good counter programming for Georgia to kind of put some insurance down or whatever good vibes and happy feelings he was going to have along his Alabama official. He takes the Alabama official visit first. The Georgia visit will come later in the season when that will be Georgia's best chance to reel him in. I think Georgia's still in a really good spot there with N'Kobe Dean. Got to remember, he left Georgia even though he had the official visit to Alabama coming up, knowing that he would be back and soon, and that would be back prior to his official visit, and it would also be back prior or sometime this summer around the time when Georgia's going to unveil the new locker room and the new West End Zone in a major late July recruiting event for a lot of guys. N'Kobe Dean and Georgia, that's the sort of relationship that seems pretty strong right now, as strong as anything could be in the month of June. And there'll be lots of legwork and lots of recruiting trips and lots of relationship building to go for whoever will land N'Kobe Dean.
All right, very last final thing. I will admit to you that I'm having a little bit of a difficult time completely understanding what Georgia's doing with its 2020 quarterback recruiting. I thought that Harrison Bailey, the Marietta quarterback, gave some pretty fascinating quotes to you where he essentially insinuated that Georgia wasn't exactly, you know, burning up his phone when it comes to recruiting efforts there. That makes it seem like, you know, that Bailey's going to sail off somewhere else. Georgia does give an offer to C.J. Dixon, the Grayson quarterback, after a couple UGA visits, but not until after Alabama sort of snuck in there and offered him first. What is Georgia doing at the quarterback position right now when it comes to 2020 here in particular, which is thought of as a, I think you would say, much deeper year for QB recruiting than the current cycle is? Hard to understand Georgia's process here.
Yeah, 2020 looks a lot more like 2018 than 2019 does in terms of signal callers in the state of Georgia. Very interesting, some of the moves that are being made here. To me, one can surmise very easily that Georgia is Georgia's favors its evaluation of Max Johnson rather than Harrison Bailey there in the class of 2020. I got to remember, though, some very interesting things have happened of late. Robbie Ashford was a guy that threw for Georgia last year and picked up an offer. That's a dual-threat quarterback out of Hoover High School. Tremendous athlete, could even be picked in the first 5 to 10 rounds of a baseball draft one day. But he earned the Georgia offer when he was clearly in a backup role for Hoover High. Not a lot of game film on him whatsoever. And then you have the 2020 class coming in, and a guy like, I think, Jacoby Criswell comes in. He is a 6'1" dual threat out of Arkansas. He comes through and throws for Georgia and picks up an offer. And then they have the nation's top quarterback prospect. He's really just going on a southeastern tour right now between Alabama and Clemson, and Georgia was in the way and in the middle, so to speak, in the median point. He comes through Georgia, picks up an offer, and then Georgia, the curiosity's there with Georgia, and the 6'6" passer from Grayson, that's C.J. Dixon. He wows a lot of people with a powerful and an accurate arm at the Georgia 7-on-7, leading Grayson to a 7-on-7 Georgia Kirby Smart Camp team title
even while the Rams were down several of their receivers and several of their top players. He works out for Georgia again, and then, again, has another, from what I'm told, another great sterling workout. The offer doesn't come immediately, even though he had offers on the table from Florida and Ohio State. C.J. Dixon then goes to Alabama, works out again, impresses the Crimson Tide, picks up an offer, and then Georgia offers him on Monday. So very interesting kind of gamesmanship there for Georgia with its in-state quarterbacks. I'm sure the theories everybody usually arises about who's getting offered and who's not getting offered. The normal check-down theories are, oh, they don't want to spook somebody else at the position, or, oh, he doesn't have enough game tape yet. So there are lots of interesting little subplots there to what's going on. I do know this. C.J. Dixon is about 6'6 and about 220 pounds. Can time about a 4.7 in the 40, 4.75 in the 40. Very powerful arm, very accurate arm. I asked a fellow that would know, couple fellows that would know, to rate Harrison Bailey, C.J. Dixon, Kendrick Patterson down in Pelham, Max Johnson, kind of to rate all of the 2020 arms in the state of Georgia. And Dixon was right in the middle of that. There was no clear edge for anyone in terms of arm strength or accuracy amongst all those guys. Maybe one of the best scouting points is a lot of people like the way Harrison Bailey played the quarterback position. I do as well. He thinks the game very well. You talk about intelligence for quarterbacks. Maybe it's the stuff that separates elite quarterbacks from one another. And it's the stuff that takes place above the shoulder and between the ears. And I think Harrison Bailey is really strong in all those areas. It remains to be seen what C.J. Dixon will do this year, leading a stacked Grayson team, which will contend for a national title again this fall with all the players they have coming back. Dixon does really like Georgia. Grew up as a fan of that school, lots of Georgia fans in his family. And I know that meant a lot to him to get that Georgia offer.
That is fascinating stuff, Jeff. That's why we lean on you every week here as part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. Great insight there into what's going on with that and all the other issues facing UGA recruiting. Thanks for your time here today on Dog Nation Daily on our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. We'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
All right, guys. Preview the intel. It's dropping today, early, late morning, early afternoon. We've got a player name to know in the class of 2020 who says it is a dead heat right now between Ohio State and Georgia.
Ooh, wow, that's a great tease. We'll look forward to reading that, Jeff. Thanks for giving us the tip.
Hi, guys. See you later.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, that is a really fascinating description of everything going on with Georgia recruiting there from Jeff Sintel. And when you listen to that, especially there at the end when it comes to those 2020 quarterbacks, which is a position in Georgia for the following recruiting cycle that is pretty deep again. As Jeff said, it reminds you a bit of 2018 when you had Trevor Lawrence that goes to Clemson, when you have Justin Fields that goes to Georgia as a very highly regarded prospect, Emory Jones at Florida. You know, those were big-time quarterback names. Kind of everybody wanted them. In 2019, you know, there was, I guess, more debate about who the top quarterbacks are, and I guess some curiosity about whether or not any of these quarterbacks kind of rank with what was a year before, what might be a year after. But when it comes to Georgia, though, you know, Georgia's still taking its time. You know, there is clearly in place here a process for Kirby Smart in recruiting that has now become his own. You know, he seems less and less to me every day like the guy who used to work for Nick Saban, because there are evaluations that go on now of prospects that is just different between Alabama and Georgia. I'm not saying that Georgia's superior. I guess we won't find that out for years to come until all these guys play. But pretty clear, you know, Kirby Smart and Georgia are rating players in some cases differently than what Alabama is rating them, and Georgia is taking its time here. I think that Georgia views itself in a position of strength when it comes to recruiting at every position, and they're not going to be panicked into recruiting any quarterback, even, or really any position, including quarterback, even though there are plenty of national outlets that will tell you that Georgia really needs that third quarterback, really needs to fill out that depth in the quarterback room. Kirby Smart's still taking his time here. He's taking his own approach here. He's becoming his own guy here as he becomes the more seasoned head coach at Georgia, moving into his third season on the field and what would also be, I guess, his fourth and soon to be fifth recruiting cycle on the Georgia job. Pretty fascinating stuff there. Time now for your SEC Through. I'll invite you to check out SEC Country Live. It comes up at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the SEC Country Video channels this afternoon. I'm talking about, you know, the Facebook page, the YouTube page, the Twitter feed. We'd love to have you check us out and join us for SEC Country Live later on this afternoon. And one of the things I talked about yesterday on the show was an ESPN.com article looking at top concerns for each of the preseason top 25 teams. We addressed the Georgia secondary yesterday as the concern for the Bulldogs and kind of talked about what that means. And actually, it wasn't secondary. Excuse me. Not the secondary. It was the linebacking core. They were talking about the the need to replace Roquan Smith and Avin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter. We talked about that being important for Georgia a day ago. ESPN wrote about that. I thought it might be kind of interesting here to kind of address some of the other concerns other SEC teams have, according to the folks at ESPN. And it is secondary that shows up as Alabama's biggest need, according to the writers of ESPN.com. The big issue here is Minkah Fitzpatrick's not there anymore. He was a bit of a one-man gang for that Alabama secondary in recent years. He's gone. He's not the only one that Alabama has to replace. A lot of newcomers will be playing there. This has been one of those priorities for Alabama in recruiting now for a couple of cycles. Remember that battle that went on with the 2017 class between Georgia and Alabama over D'Angelo Gibbs? They knew then the kind of, you know, holes they had to fill there, and it'll be interesting to see on the field this season if Alabama does that. It's also something to think about for Georgia if it gets to that game in December against Alabama in the SEC Championship. The thought here is that Georgia might be throwing a lot more during the season. Jeff Sintel just told you that maybe some of the wide receiver recruits, including Jaden Hazelwood, are curious to see how much the Dogs do put the ball in the air. If ESPN's to be believed here, putting the ball in the air, challenging an Alabama secondary, that might be the way to repeat as SEC champions. A couple of other big needs, according to ESPN, about some of the SEC teams. Georgia doesn't play Mississippi State, but they are 16th in the ESPN preseason poll, and ESPN has a bit of a concern about the wide receivers there for Mississippi State. It's one of the reasons why the Stephen Guidry news that we've been following a bit, the junior college transfer who may or may not be in good graces with Joe Moorhead right now, that continues to be an offseason storyline worth watching. A team that Georgia does play that also has some wide receiver concerns is Auburn here. They had a ton of injuries to that position back during the spring season, during spring practices, and for Jarrett Stidham, who factors in that conversation of top quarterbacks in all of college football here, top quarterbacks in the SEC for sure, part of the thing that'll determine if he really achieves that level of status, if he fully fulfills his potential here, will be determining, you know, can they find a wide receiver? You know, by recruiting rankings alone, Auburn's recruited that position pretty well, including guys like Nate Craig Myers in recent years. But somebody from that group is going to really step up and become a dependable target for Jarrett Stidham if he's going to actually live up to some of the hype that's building around him here this offseason. Texas A&M also has some issues at wide receiver, according to ESPN. They're at number 23 in the ESPN preseason poll. A lot of that is doing and a part of the need to replace Christian Kirk, who's now departed on his way to the NFL. Same for South Carolina, coming in at number 25 in the ESPN preseason poll. Their big need to replace is the tight end Hayden Hurst. And I don't know if you feel this way that I do, but watching all of Georgia's opponents a year ago, the guy who was sort of the most impressive in person in comparison to what you'd seen on TV for me was Hayden Hurst. He was just such a big target and such a difficult guy to guard because he was a big guy that ran really well. Seeing how South Carolina replaces him, by the way, getting ready quickly here for Georgia in week two, I think that'll also go a long way in determining just how good Jake Bentley is. You heard Chip Towers a little earlier saying that Bentley makes the South Carolina game tougher for Georgia. That's certainly true if he can find a crop of guys to throw to. We know his wide receivers are pretty strong. Deebo Samuel is obviously good, coming back healthy. Brian Edwards as well. How about the tight ends and the absence of Hayden Hurst? That'll be something interesting to see, and we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, you know, every day at this time, we've been doing our Dog Day Q&A, and in response to what we just said there about some of the big needs, big concerns for some of ESPN's preseason top 25 teams and what we talked about yesterday and the concern about the linebacker, I'm curious to see if your opinion actually mirrors that of the national media or some of the things that you hear from time to time here on Dog Nation Daily. When you think about big concerns for the upcoming season, what is the thing that pops to mind, top of mind for you? You can weigh in on that as a part of our Dog Day Q&A. Live, if you're watching on video, we'll take a lot of your comments. And if you're listening to the show right now, you can also hit us up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. That's, you know, for anyone on the radio, podcast, whatever. And we'll have that conversation off air as well. Let me dive in and get a few of the comments here. I did some YouTube comments a little earlier. Let me do some Facebook comments right now. People kind of weighing in on the situation with Alabama, talking about the what's going on there with the quarterback situation. I guess there must have been some Alabama trolling going on there. So some people over there on the Facebook side of things are a little concerned about that. That may be the only thing that's concerning to them right now is the trolls. They feel like they have to shut up there on the Facebook side. With that in mind, I'll pop over to YouTube here for a moment. William Lay, or maybe it's William Lee, asking about the competition level that Xavier Truss has faced in a high school at Rhode Island. Obviously, that's a very different level of competition than what's going to take place anywhere in the South, certainly for offensive linemen in the state of Georgia. And I think that's a fair thing to bring up about Xavier Truss. I was surprised to hear this from Jeff Sintel. You know, Rhode Island, I guess, from a geographic standpoint, is the smallest state in the country. Jeff said there's only about 40 schools there that even play varsity football. That's obviously a pretty different situation, but, you know, I'm going to assume that Truss has been to camps. I'm going to assume that he's, you know, taken on a league competition during the summers. And we've already seen examples of Sam Pittman being able to take project-type players, with all due respect to Truss, I may put him in that group, project-type players and turn them into guys who are capable of contributing. Remember, for the class of 2016, Solomon Kinley was not thought to be anywhere near the same level of prospect that Ben Cleveland was, and yet, before you know it, Solomon Kinley's ready to play. He was developed and ready to be on the field, and while he sort of fought to hold on to a starting job last year, the key word there is starting. He was able to start some for Georgia. So at this point in time, while I may be, like the commenter, skeptical of the level of high school football being played in Rhode Island, I am not skeptical and really in any way going to question Sam Pittman's ability to get prospects ready. He's done it before, and I think that he could do it with Xavier Truss as well. And the great thing for Georgia, by the time that Truss is on campus here, you know, this thing of having to get a Isaiah Wilson ready quickly, this thing of having to get a, especially for Andrew Thomas a year ago, having to get him ready quickly, that's not going to be as big of a need for Georgia anymore. It's going to be more of a deliberate pace of getting offensive linemen on the field, having more time to truly develop the player around what is already a big body, God-given size. That's going to be an even more advantageous situation for Georgia when it comes to these offensive linemen in the years to come. Let me pop over and get a couple comments here as well. Diedrich Frazier asking about Trey Scott. And you heard Jeff Sintel's point on this a little earlier. He is, I guess, for now going to defend Trey Scott, sort of try to talk some people off the ledge when it comes to that. And obviously there's no indictment against Trey Scott. Yeah, but the one thing that I've said over and over again is that people are going to be watching him closely, and that's just fair. He was brought to Georgia to replace a defensive line coach that probably did not do well enough in recruiting. It seems reasonable to suggest the reason why Tracy Rocker isn't here anymore is because of recruiting. Therefore, there was already pressure on Trey Scott, but I think what Jeff would say is that Trey Scott may be the kind of assistant coach that lives up to those expectations and handles that pressure just fine. But we'll have to wait and see how that goes with Trayvon Walker and others. You heard Jeff talking about Derek Rambo Hunter, Quishon Fuller. Those are some of the names that'll be instrumental when it comes to how Georgia does with its defensive line recruiting. Trey Scott obviously kind of in the crosshairs when it comes to that, but as I said, there's still plenty of reason to think that he'll do just fine in that regard. Also plenty of reason to think that Georgia will do just fine when it gets to Jacksonville this October for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. You know, our buddy Eddie loves it when we do the Gatorator Countdown, and we do it every single day here, right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And 130 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville again, gets another win over those lousy, stinking Gators. It's our Gatorator Countdown. We do it every single day here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We've got a great week of shows for you throughout the rest of the week. Some of it surprises, some of it what you've come to expect. Hope you'll join us tomorrow, 10 a.m. on video, or whenever you listen on audio for another episode of Dog Nation Daily. Y'all have a great day.